Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Hour number two underway. Joel joining us shortly here. I just realized I do sound like Jerome Solomon. That sounded very Jerome Solomon-ish. I apologize. But happy to be back. If you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick. Let's do this, man. Let's just go ahead and grab Troy. He's been holding for a moment, and he wanted to talk to us about the Texans a little bit. Troy, what's up, man?
What's going on, Barry? You sound great. Glad you're back, man.
Thank you, buddy. I'm happy to be back.
Yes, sir. So when Deshaun come back out on the 4th-and-1, you're thinking, okay, he's going to come out, read the defense, see how they stack up, call a timeout, and kick a field goal. If you've got any doubt that your kicker can't make that field goal, kind of like what Nick was saying, then pump the ball deep, pin them deep, and make them go to the field, have to score a touchdown. Don't give them the ball back with 25 yards and earn field goal range to tie the game. He is a idiot. I'm out.
I appreciate it, Troy, and I couldn't agree with you more. I did not like the call. I don't know about necessarily punting it. I just take my chances kicking that field goal at 48 yards. If Fairbairn can't make that, you got issues. And you're going to continue to have issues. So I'm with you, though. I don't like the call.
At home.
Yeah, at home. I don't like the call. There's being aggressive, and then there's being smart. And I think it was the aggressive call because he's like, look, if we make it, we win. I get that. But you didn't make it.
And here's the other thing. If you knew you were going to go for it on 4th down, then your 3rd down call should have been totally different too. Because
totally
you don't
agree.
Necessarily have to do it on 4th down, but because you know you were going to make it 4 down territory and you knew what you were planning on doing, then you could have mixed it up a little bit more with the variety of the play calls because it would have got the Bills off balance. They wouldn't be expecting it as much.
Yeah.
Probably would have been effective one way or another to get that 1st down then. Because
yep.
I'm with you. I'm like, they have to kick this field goal then and make them, because they haven't been able to move the ball down the field to get a touchdown. You're in great shape. But the fact that you just basically led with the crown of your helmet trying to get a 1st down and got set back, it's like, if you lose now, you deserve it.
Well, I left. I was like, well, I'm going to go pee. They're going to kick this field goal. I'll come back. I came back. I was like, what? What the hell?
Like, someone tweeted that to us.
Yeah.
And I was with you, too. I was
same
like,
thing.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm going to the bathroom now because it's all. And I
it's
came
pee-pee
back.
Time.
I said to Lisa, I go, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, it's terrible. Titan Hugo checking in, of course. You know Titan Hugo's going to check in after a big win by the Titans, but he said, lose to the Ravens, don't count out them Titans. Well,
look.
Let's pump the brakes,
great
Hugo.
Great win.
Yeah, this is where it
impressive,
is.
Impressive, but it's a little different trying to pound Derrick Henry at the Ravens defense as opposed to the Patriots defense. And offensively, they got weapons, and and number 8's the biggest weapon they got, and he is a handful.
And listen, Hugo, you know, if you've listened to this show, I was warning y'all about the Titans halfway through the year. I was saying, man, watch out. Those Titans aren't going away. It's a good football team. They play great defense. Tannehill's really turned them around as well. But that was not a good Patriots team either.
There's no doubt that you were honking on the Titans when there was about 3 or 4 games to go, too, to say that they actually could win the division. There's no doubt that Hugo was honking on the Titans that they were going to beat the Saints, which didn't happen.
No.
However,
no.
He was right that they were going to make the playoffs, and they beat the Patriots. So kudos to them. Kudos to Mike Vrabel.
But
Ryan Tannehill, I saw someone tweet this, and when you think about it in that perspective, a former A&M receiver just beat the Patriots in the playoffs at quarterback.
With 72 yards passing.
Yeah.
72 yards passing. That shows you how dominant that run game is. And that is a damn good Patriots defense.
Would you
that
rather,
Patriots defense was one of, if not the best defenses in football this year.
Would you rather... Boy, I was going to be mean here and I won't.
No, don't do it. But just go ahead. Do it. It's fine.
Would no.
No, do it.
It's very mean.
No, what, why stop now?
Would you volunteer to get in the way of trying to stop Derrick Henry with a head of steam?
No.
My goodness, that dude is a load. Not only, you think about all that he was, and Nick, you were absolutely accurate in the fact that he was a second-round pick, yeah. Not a first-round pick coming out of college, but for as good as he was at Alabama and he won the Heisman,
mm-hmm.
the fact that he can combine that in, physically, people don't realize that they just see him on television. If you stand next to him in person and realize that he has NBA height, he has basically your most jacked up linebacker size and strength, and he's got tailback speed. He is a beast.
Yeah, yeah, that's what makes him so interesting is the fact that he's 6'3", not your typical running back size, but he still has this ability to really force his way in between tackles and force the ball and move the ball. Usually you need a shorter running back to do that. It's not the case with Derrick Henry, and that's probably why he went 45th overall, second round, and a lot of people weren't necessarily high on him as a running back. But look what he's done for Tennessee. And usually you would think 6'3", okay, dual threat, maybe he can make a lot more receptions. They use him a lot for rushing.
Yeah, he's not the best out of the
backfield. More than anything else.
But at the same time, look at what we just said. So he had a monster game.
182 yards rushing on 34 carries.
That's a monster game.
Yeah.
Tannehill, 70-some yards passing. So you would think, oh, well, if you're the Ravens, there's your game plan. Stop the run. Dare you to beat us with the pass.
Well, they're going to load up the box.
Yeah, we'll take our chances because that's what's coming at them next.
But you kind of feel like that's what New England knew as well. I mean, it's not like...
Personnel-wise, though, you got Earl Thomas in the back. You've got Marcus Peters on a corner.
Yeah, but it's not like you thought that this Titans offense was some prolific passing offense. You know what they are. They're Derrick Henry.
But who was a hotter quarterback for the second half of the season than Tannehill? You can't give me one. Because when you look at the stats and you look at the numbers that he put up, Tannehill blew the doors off of everybody for the final 6-8 games of the season.
He played really well.
So at the same time, they suddenly, because with Mariota, there was no doubt you were going to get a steady dose of the run.
Correct.
But once Tannehill gave you the balance... It kept everybody off balance in terms of not being able to scheme with just stopping Derrick Henry.
But I think in the playoffs, you take your chances with Ryan Tannehill beating you. You're like, okay. Yeah, if Ryan Tannehill can beat us with his arm, we probably deserve to lose.
Don't you think that arrogantly snarky Bill Belichick went, that's Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
We're going to be
fine. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, ugly game by the Patriots. I mean, they couldn't get anything going. Tom Brady looked old. You know, he has no weapons. It's just a bad game all the way around for that team. You're not used to seeing it, but I tell you what, everyone's talking. Is it the end of the dynasty? Is it the end of an era? I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
I don't either.
But I could be wrong.
I think he's getting paid, too.
I think maybe this is where he makes up for all of the years where he took less so that he can win more.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft came out, and the reason why I say that is because Kraft came out today and said basically that his hopes and prayers are with Brady if he continues to play with the Patriots and finish his career there or retire. And he said after the game, very, very unlikely that he retires.
Yeah.
So with all those things being said, he'll be back. I will say that it looked like there was some truth to the rumor that had been there kind of the underbelly of the last couple of weeks saying he has elbow problems. Not that they're as bad as like what Roethlisberger had. But they said when you go back and look at the stats over the final two games of the regular season, he wasn't throwing balls over 20 yards. What he was throwing wasn't as accurate as it once was. And regardless of what the personnel or lack of personnel he had on the offensive side of the football, they said he didn't look the same. And maybe that had something to do with the fact that he fell way off to where maybe in the offseason, whether it's arthroscopic or they got to do some things to tighten some things up and fix some things. But that would make a lot of sense, too. Yeah, and the fact that he's 42. But come on, he hasn't... We talked about Phillip Rivers looking like he fell off the cliff in a hurry.
Yeah.
Brady going into this season looked like he hadn't missed much of a beat. So now now you're looking at it going, is it the elbow? Is it finally caught up with him?
But hey, you know what? At some point, when it goes, it goes.
And if you're the Patriots, do you owe him because of all the six titles and all that?
Yes.
You owe him a chance to come back and do it again?
I think so.
I think
you owe him everything. There are two people in that organization that you owe everything to. One of them is Bill Belichick, and one of them is Tom Brady.
Couldn't agree more.
And if Tom Brady says, I want as much money as humanly possible, and I want you to go out, and I want you to get this person, and I want you to go out and get that person, and I want you to do whatever Tom Brady wants.
You don't touch Tom.
Yeah, you got to get him some weapons. So whether you got to make trades, you got to do what you got to do.
I can see them going for it mode. For as conservative as they've been and how they don't overpay and they don't like to bring in big-name free agents at big money, I could see them going, if we're going to bring him back for a swan song, why not give him one last chance
and put
everybody around him?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Dare I say I think he's getting $40 million a year?
I don't think he's worth all that, but I think that would be the sweetheart deal. That would be a sweetheart deal by Robert Kraft to make up for all that he's given up.
It's possible. I think whatever it is, I expect it to be a fully guaranteed deal.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Sure. Absolutely. He's earned
that. Which is still rare in football.
Now, and he may say, look, as long as you're willing to go for it and put different and give me the resources I need, then I don't need 40.
Right.
But if you're going to bring me back, but you're not going to guarantee me that you're going to put quality receivers and backs and tight and get me another tight end, then I might say, okay, well, then I'll come back. But I do want to make up some of that cash that I've given up to be a good team.
Speaking of that, how much did he miss Gronk?
Oh, a ton.
Oh, man.
And Benjamin Watson wasn't even close.
No. But that's the thing. They've got to go out and find them. I don't even know who's...
He could have Jimmy Graham if he wants.
Are there any dominant free agent tight ends?
The free agent part, I haven't looked at.
I'll check SpotTrack. But that, to me, that would be where I would start. Because you know that's what that offense...
It'd be interesting to look up because I wouldn't know the big name tight ends that are available for free.
But
agency.
That offense loves a really good tight end. More than anything else. So I'm gonna.
Is Jared Cook a free agent?
I'm gonna look right now, dude.
He played his ass off this year.
I was just gonna say because the dude did it in Green Bay. He did it in Oakland. He did it in New Orleans. And if there's a team that's looking for and by the way, guess who he had conversations with before he signed with the Saints? The Patriots. But they didn't know what Gronk was gonna do at that time. There's a guy that, if he's free, could help a lot of teams. Because I said to Lisa yesterday, if they could go get him and bring him back to Green Bay because Rodgers loves him, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Because Jimmy Graham has absolutely been dog snot.
Well, I've got the list. We'll go over some names on the other side.
There you go. We're rolling through second hour of the show, 3 hour extravaganza. So plenty of time if you want to join us. 713-780-3776 HRP Lister line, or hit us up on Twitter. Usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Roll through hour number 2, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city. I already talked about the Texans. Got into some conversations about the Patriots and the Titans. Haven't talked about the other two games. I'll tell you what, the biggest surprise of all to a lot of people was that Vikings-Saints game.
Real quick. Let's do the list of tight ends because we teased that.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, it's pretty cut and dry to me. When you look at the list of available free agent tight ends, the ones that are available, Eric Ebron, Vernon Davis, Jason Witten, Tyler Eifert, Garrett Celek, Mercedes Lewis, Charles Clay, Hunter Henry, Darren Fells. There's your top. I'd say the best on that list is Hunter Henry.
You're absolutely right.
And I could absolutely see the Patriots taking a run at him.
You're missing one.
Who?
Think about it. If it's going to be a swan song.
Who?
Rob Gronkowski.
I don't think he's coming back.
I don't think so either.
Took a year off. Said he might take a year off and come back. Loves Tom Brady. Said he only wanted to play with him.
You really think he'd come back?
I think, depending on what they have around him, I could see him coming back for one more year. If not more.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Gronk's a money guy. So if you say, look, if we're going for it,
we know
how important the tight end position is. No one played it better in that system than him.
Yeah.
If they make the right offer, money talks, he would come back.
I could see them going after Ebron
that he had where he was like emotional and talking about how he just wasn't happy playing football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost seemed like he had PTSD when he was talking. He was just like really traumatized about his football career.
Sounds like that anyway. He's that, not the that, sharpest tool in the drawer.
Well, the, him not being smart, we've always known. I've never seen him like break down and talk about how he's unhappy playing football.
Yeah.
We knew he wasn't the smartest guy in the world. We knew he was a meathead.
By the way, Darren Fells, also a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Led, of all these free agent tight ends, led all of them in touchdowns with 7.
Yeah, but I think you're right. In terms of the kind of tight end to fill that role, I think Hunter Henry's the guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, it as far as like, you know, youth and ability, Hunter Henry's the best tight end on that
route
list.
Route running and everything. But Eric Ebron's also
a proven tight end. So I could see those would be my top two tight ends as far as free agents go.
In the case of Ebron, he had a problem with the drops till he got to Indy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't know from that standpoint either. I think the most polished that would fit what they're Hunter looking Henry. For is Hunter yeah. Henry. I agree with you yeah. there.
All right. Okay.
So, and Cooks is not a free agent in New Orleans.
No,
so that's
one more year.
Yeah. So, because Green Bay needs a tight end too. There you go. The thing that I was saying was, of all the things I was surprised, I wasn't surprised. I told a lot of people I thought Minnesota was going to cover the spread. But the way the game played out, the way Kirk Cousins finally stepped up for a big game.
You like that.
And he even finished in the locker room with that. But the fact that, I mean, look, you may love the Saints, you may hate the Saints. I said I really felt, the first thing that I thought about when the Saints lost was Clarence, because we know he's the diehard of all diehard Saints fans. And a lot of people were like, screw him and his, you know, and his boisterous bubble. But if you're a Saints fan and you've gone out that way in the last three playoffs.
It hurts.
I don't know that there's a bigger pain to be felt by a sports fan.
With an aging quarterback, man.
With an aging quarterback and another controversial call to end the game. Should it have been reviewed? Should it have been defensive pass interference?
What say you?
I felt like he pushed off. I felt like he used his arm to create separation.
I did not.
Now, was it egregious? Was it, you know, have I seen worse on both sides of the ball during a play that hasn't been called? Absolutely. Do I think that the NFL should have reviewed it? Yes. Do I think they should have overturned it? They haven't been overturning them all year.
They said not that the referees made the announcement over the air, but they said in New York they were reviewing it. And Cam Jordan was, after the game, saying it's a joke because they told him, look, New York said they reviewed it. It didn't take that long because they thought that it was just jockeying both ways, but nothing egregious enough to call. And he's like, that's a joke. But when you think about that and the Minneapolis miracle and then the Rams call that, you know, with the PI, boy, in a three-year stretch, hard to find any more heartbreak than that.
But that play is why they made the rule.
Sure.
And now what's crazy is the Saints couldn't even ask for it. They couldn't even challenge it because there's no challenges in overtime.
Right.
So you can't – they put in this whole challenged pass interference – because of the Saints, and then it comes down to where you would have liked to have seen it challenged or reviewed, and you say it was, I'm sure they did, but it's just odd that had it not been reviewed, they couldn't have even asked for it, they couldn't have even challenged it because of the overtime rule. So now do you need to take a look at it and say, well, I guess you have to give one challenge in overtime? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough call because, again, if they do challenge it and they overturn it, now everybody's going, oh, you're doing them a solid because you screwed them for two
years. Well, don't you kind of owe?
I kind of think you do, too. I mean, because if not the Minneapolis miracle is on them. That was just a blatant breakdown in coverage. But the
totally agree.
But the Rams call couldn't have been more obvious. And the fact that you couldn't do anything about it and the better team was sent home, you feel for them. But I said when everybody, because they were losing their mind after the touchdown, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. They could review this, and it would be fitting if they reversed it. But the fact that the referees never even basically came out and said, you know, the play is under further review.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then just everybody walked off the field.
It had a weird vibe the way it ended. Almost like it was so anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Like there was just no like, oh my God. Like it just was like, oh, touchdown. Oh, that's the end. That's it. It's over.
But you know what?
It was a weird ending.
Just based on yesterday alone, not the whole regular season. The better team won yesterday. Because when you look at just yesterday's stats,
they played better.
Dalvin Cook played better than Kamara.
Yep.
Believe it or not, Kirk Cousins played way better than Drew Brees.
Agreed.
Did.
Okay. Michael Thomas had a game, but guess what? So did Thielen. Diggs, for all and by the way, Diggs, he's always been this way. But just grow up. After the game, Sean Payton extends his hand, and there's pictures all over it on the internet. I showed Barry. Sean Payton extends his hand to Diggs to congratulate him, and he's doing the chopper dance to Sean Payton and basically dancing in his face. And it's like, dude,
yeah,
come on, man.
Pretty classless. Dude, based on the picture. I didn't see a video of it, but just based on the picture, it looks pretty classless. But, yeah, look, the Saints got outplayed. They lost that game. But can we just say Taysom Hill is a national treasure?
God, he's good.
Why is that guy not a superstar? That guy does everything. I was waiting for him to just to play a little strong safety. That dude is a national treasure.
You know why I'm pissed, right?
Why?
Because I tweeted it out twice to different people that brought it up besides you. You know where he started?
Mm-mm.
No, I do.
Oh, Green Bay.
He started in Green Bay.
Yeah.
They loved his athleticism. They considered him to be the backup quarterback. And at the last minute, they decided, no, we're going to go with Hundley, and we're going to let him go. Boy, that was genius. Saints snapped him up in a heartbeat, and they saw something, and now look at him. Dude can do it all.
50 yards passing, 50 yards rushing. He had 25 touchdown. Yards receiving. Yeah, special teams plays.
Had a touchdown.
Would have had a fake if not for a false start.
Yep.
Would have converted a fake punt except for a false start. That dude does it all. It's amazing. Now, in today's era of football, to watch a guy like that, and to still, for the most part, he goes under the radar.
Let's slow down in the fact that everybody's saying if Breeze retires, there's your heir apparent. I'm going that far, people.
I did see people tweeting out, why not just let Taysom Hill finish the game? Stop it.
He's a hell of a weapon because of his versatility. He ain't the heir apparent to Drew Breeze, okay? And if it's not Teddy Bridgewater, who's next in line, by the way?
Yeah.
It's not Taysom Hill.
What
okay?
was the Steelers? He did the same
Randall
thing.
Randall L.
Yeah, he's kind of an Antoine Randall. Well, he's never going to be your full-time quarterback, but he can fill those.
Brad Smith was a guy, I think his name was, that was the backup for the Jets that was also special teams that came in on gadget plays. Was another. He wasn't he was more of like the overall athletic strong guy like Taysom Hill. And you're right. And Randall L was the guy in the slot.
And Randall L was
it.
More of a speedster, but Taysom Hill, he'll run you over.
Right. That's the difference between the two. And Randall L was a quarterback in college at Indiana.
Yeah.
So that's where you get that from. Speaking of college quarterbacks that played well at the end of the year, though, Greg Ward Jr.
Yep.
The Cougar. Yep. Stepping up big for the Eagles. Yeah. I think that he, regardless of what they do and when their receivers get healthy, he's got to have a spot next year
somewhere.
In their receiving rotation. He played well.
Yeah, I was watching him play. I was happy to see him. I mean, I was a little concerned after their quarterback situation because he was the third string quarterback.
Yeah, that was going to be ugly.
That would be bad. But no, I'm happy. I think he's got a spot somewhere in the NFL.
To say this. We haven't talked about that game yet. And for all the controversy and the finish between the Saints and the Vikings, a little controversy in that Eagles-Seahawks game we got to get to as well. So we'll get to that next as we open up the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. 90 in the books. 90 still to go. It is The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. Coming off that Texans win. We talked about it at the start of the show. We'll talk about it again, I'm sure, before we're over for the day. Getting into some of the other NFL playoffs as well. Game we haven't talked about yet is the Eagles.
Yes.
And Eagles. The Seahawks.
Yeah.
Sea chickens with the wind there. But before we do that, we should probably do this. There's been a lot of people, believe it or not, clamoring for...
Well, okay. Stephen A. I mean...
I'm telling you, it's pretty good.
I wouldn't say clamoring.
No,
more asking.
Yeah.
Did Clarence call and read the rule book yet?
There was a lot of people wanting him to get a knife and a fork and eat crow.
And Demetrius was like, welcome back, Barry. Has Clarence called yet? Like, people want to know if Clarence is calling and enjoying his humble pie.
Well,
Clarence.
I wouldn't say clamoring. I would say inquiring.
Clarence, you know that I tweeted out immediately the first guy I thought about and wanted to make sure if you were okay. And I thought you handled it fairly well, but that had to be a tough one.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was, but at least it was better than the previous 2 years. It was an outright loss, and I don't care what anybody says about that last play. It was a push-off. Were they going to call it and reverse it? I knew they weren't. They haven't done it all year. Why would they do it now? But that's not why they lost.
Okay.
They lost because, I'm going to just say they played well enough to win, but they didn't. Drew Brees, horrible interception, and even worse, a horrible fumble. It's funny that this whole hand injury that he had toward the beginning of the season, it finally came into play.
That's a good point.
It finally came into play because any other time he would have gripped that ball and it would have been down, but you can tell he was trying to put a little extra squeeze on it to lift it up and at least kind of throw it and probably get an intentional grounding, but it'll still be in field goal range.
That's what Nick wanted Barry to do this weekend, just put a little extra squeeze on it. I do want to ask you, Clarence, because of the fact that we were talking about Tom Brady and this possibly being the end of an era, unfortunately, because of the way it's ended the last 3 years, and like you mentioned, Drew isn't getting any younger and he's not getting any more healthy, are we seeing now the end of an era with the Saints, or are they still capable of going for it again for another year or two?
I believe they can go one more year because of how the team is actually set up. You have Michael Thomas. You still have Alvin Kamara. We're probably going to lose Andres Pete. He's going to be too expensive on his second contract. We're probably also going to lose Teddy Bridgewater as a backup. There are some teams out there who's probably going to look at him as a starter now.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. My question more being, we saw, and Barry and I just talked about it today, the fall off comes quickly when you're a quarterback approaching or over 40. And Breeze, whether it was the thumb or not, you know, he looked very, very average yesterday. And the question is that all on the thumb or is it time? Because he's making a lot of money.
I think that was giving more credit to the Vikings defense. They were up in his face. They were pressuring him. They were bothering him the entire game. They were all up on him. And you can tell the difference between when Drew was in back there and when Taysom was. When you see Taysom up there, they weren't sure, the defensive line, the front four, they weren't sure what he was going to do. Was he going to throw it, or was he going to take off running with it? And that X factor, that's why they didn't push it as much as they did. They had good blocking, and they weren't sure. They wasn't really rushing it, and that's how he was able to get that ball off. When Drew was back there, they know. Drew is not Tom Brady slow, but he's not no Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson. He's a quarterback. He is a pure passer, a thrower. So they just started teeing off, and the offensive line, two of them who just came back.
Well, Clarence, NBA season.
Sorry for your loss, buddy.
Yeah, sorry for you. NBA season starts for you tonight. So make sure you check all that action out, and we'll enjoy the rest of the football season. But sorry, you're caught out.
He had one point right. That front four of that Vikings?
Well, they're good. And I told you guys that
Everson Griffin
all season.
Is a beast.
I told you guys all season.
He got
season,
after it.
It ain't about the Vikings
Hunter,
defense or
Daniel
their
Hunter
weapons.
And Griffin?
That team solely relies on Kirk Cousins. If he's good, they're great. If he's bad, they're awful.
Well, that's a good defensive football team. And he's right. They cause problems up front. I mean, just between Hunter and Griffin, they had six QB hits.
Yeah, but here's why I brought up that question to him about Breeze. When you looked at Breeze when he was pressured at all, and sometimes it wasn't even where they were getting all the way to him, he could just feel it coming.
Mm-hmm.
The panic button was extra quick.
You think so?
Oh my God. He was just driving it into the ground. It just didn't look like the same quarterback willing to stand in and maybe take a hit while making and delivering the football. It just seemed for me like the writing was on the wall in a lot of ways. Maybe it's the thumb. But it looks like at this point in his career and just the way it all played out, that I could see them starting to figure out what's plan B.
Mm,
I think he'll be back for another year.
I mean, when you look at the year he had.
I just think maybe this is, like we're talking about with Brady, maybe this is where the inevitable comes and he starts falling off.
I mean, based on the year he had, he still had a pretty damn good year.
And he missed several games.
Yeah, he missed several games. I don't think it's over for him, but he ain't getting younger.
For the team? For the Saints? Look, Kamara was hurt too, but Kamara wasn't even a sniff of what he was last year.
By the way, can we just talk about the fact that the big thing that hurt this team this year in this moment, in this game, was no Mark Ingram. Having Mark Ingram on this team would have made a huge difference for the Saints offense, and I think it really showed that losing him.
Very valid point, because really just hurt. Like you say about when Taysom Hill, when Clarence said when Taysom Hill was in the game, you didn't know if he was going to run, you didn't know if he was going to pass.
Yeah.
When you have thunder and lightning,
yeah,
and you can mix it up, especially when they're both in the backfield at times, it does.
During the game, I'm thinking, man, they really miss a Mark Ingram right now, because the Vikings were fast laterally, and Kamara was really unable to get to the edge. And you would have liked to have had just a little thunder up the middle.
But here's the biggest problem I got with the reason why I brought all this up, too. With Drew Brees, you had two corners out for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Rhodes hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
And yet, he wasn't effective. And I know that was somewhat to do with the pass rush. But still, with quick hits and the way when he wanted to get Michael Thomas, he could get Michael Thomas. I just feel like that's a different Drew Brees than I've seen in his entire career.
Yeah, he didn't look great. I mean, he had, but you know, neither did Tom Brady. They had bad games. They're getting older, but I still think they have some football left in them. But I just don't know. It's kind of like the Peyton Manning thing, right? Like he started to falter, but you've got to have a better team around him. You can't just have Drew Brees carrying the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have Tom Brady carrying the Patriots anymore. You've got to have better teams around him. Now, I would have thought with that Patriots defense that they would have fared better than they did, but. Tom Brady had absolutely zero on offense to work with. But Drew Brees can't say that. I mean, he's got Cook. He's got Michael Thomas.
But again, we talked about besides Michael Thomas and the tight end, I dare anybody that's not a diehard Saints fan to just rattle off another receiver for the Saints.
Yeah, but you still have three legitimate weapons in Cook, Kamara, and Michael Thomas. Going to a fourth weapon, any team would love to have a fourth weapon that you could name.
But you still, because people are going to double-team Thomas, even though he had 149 catches, you still need other receivers that are going to be serviceable and get you some receptions. When you look at it and the numbers, obviously he had 149. I think the next closest receiver, not tight end, receiver was like 29.
Yeah, but you can't say. Okay, but you had a second pass catcher. You had a second guy able to catch the ball to take the heat off of Thomas.
Can you do it for another year? Because now.
Yeah.
You're asking for a lot. You're asking for Thomas to come up with another big year. Kamara has to be better.
I mean, that's a fact.
And yet you don't know which Drew Brees you're going to get. So,
well, he's going to be a year older. You know that.
I think with Peyton Manning, though, man, that neck surgery injury, like he just could not throw the ball. Like he was way worse consistently throwing the ball than Drew Brees and Tom Brady this year. Like that last year was bad.
Not just accuracy, but the lack of zip on it.
He had support around him.
Oh, absolutely. Great defense. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, an all-world defense. The defense won the Super Bowl for him that year. He just was a coach on the field, and he was a game manager.
So it can be done with these guys like this that are having these problems.
I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm just wondering, are they at a crossroads?
Because there's some decisions to be made in the next couple
years.
You
think about it. They had three all-world opportunities, and not that it was their fault in every case, but they should have been in the Super Bowl last year. They didn't get
there. They're like the Atlanta Braves of the football world.
Or like the Buffalo Bills, right?
Well, at least the Bills made it to the Super Bowl. Right. That's why I say they're the Braves.
That's a good call.
They're like the Atlanta Braves. They get to the playoffs, can't get over the hump. And, you know, they did it the one time, but sucks. But, hey, you know what? I would rather be in that position every time than not.
At least you're good enough to get there, right?
And I say that as a Texans fan who has watched this team go to the playoffs and lay eggs every year. And I still think at the end of the day, I'd rather be in the playoffs.
I was gonna say, you're also an Astros fan. So whether you win the World Series or not, you either get there or to the League Championship Series. And there's a lot of teams that would kill for that opportunity.
That's right.
So we've got one football game to talk about that we still haven't talked about. The ex-Texan makes a headline.
No pun intended.
Was it legal? We'll talk about it next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Nice.
I'm into. It's a movement towards something simple. Simple Mobile. A lightning fast 5G.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour two, three-hour show. The only game we haven't gotten to yet is the one that when we were sitting there prepping before the show, we kind of went back and forth. Was it a good game? Wasn't it? Was it the dog of the weekend? Probably. But the Seahawks-Eagles game, it wasn't a blowout. It was still a one-score game. So you still had to watch in most cases.
No, I went Mimi's. I was like, I'm out. I'm taking a nap. I took a nap at 6 p.m. That's how I roll.
Well, at least you did some show.
Nora goes, when do you want me to wake you up? I said, when this whack-ass game is over.
That's the best show prep Barry's done in a while. He prepared on a Sunday by taking a nap and was well-rested, so he let that voice rest.
Yeah, baby.
So whether you tuned it out, tuned it off, or hung in there like I did, at least it was a close game. But I thought that for all intents and purposes, because I literally thought I wanted the Eagles to win, because I thought that that would be the best matchup for the Packers to actually advance. I knew it wasn't going to happen when I saw Wentz walk off the field, because first I had to know what the injury was. And I was thinking maybe he got stepped on or maybe something like that. But when they showed the replay of what play it was, I'm like, nope, he's not coming back, and they got no chance to win without him. Give McCown credit, because he gave them opportunities. And at 40 years old, and we talk about this, and the crazy numbers of 17th year in the NFL, first playoff appearance, and you're thrust into a starting role to try and lead your team to victory. Didn't throw a pick, didn't lose a fumble, threw for 172 yards, I think. But you could see he was 40 in terms of the way he scrambled and ran. Well, and there was it was a tough situation to be in, and it didn't work out for him.
At best, Josh McCown would be an average game manager. Mm-hmm. And with that Eagles team, with the lack of weapons that they have, and the receiving core and rushing, and that the secondary is garbage, like there were so many holes on that team that it was going to be difficult for them with an average at best game manager under center to help beat a Seahawks team.
That's a great point, because if he had a full stable full of weapons, I think he's a guy that you could do a lot
worse. It might
have
been a different game. If they could have run the ball more. If they could have,
Because, like you said, you could balance it by running, but more so than that, because he ripped off some really good throws to Zach Ertz and some of the guys. Some of them were caught, some of them were dropped. But at the same time, it's hard to fault what he was doing. And then when you factor in what you said, which is why it's a great point, the fact that you were trying to make a converted quarterback from the University of Houston into a receiver or to find guys that could get open that weren't the guys you had at the start of the year. Tough to win. He very emotional after the game in an embrace with Ertz, was crying and apologizing because obviously he wanted it so badly. It would have been the Cinderella story for the Eagles again, but it doesn't happen and Seattle ends up with the win.
It's tough because you're basically being compared to Nick Foles at that point.
Yeah, because that's
and
what
people
they,
are like, well, Nick Foles did it.
Yep, that's what they wanted. And
and he couldn't even live up to a backup quarterback. That
Josh
sucks.
McCown isn't Nick Foles. Nick Foles is
he's not just any backup quarterback for what he was able to do, right?
Right.
He's Big Deed Nick in Philly. That's how good he is.
Right.
And you should probably work on that nickname as well. But at the same time, when you look at that and you look how unfairly so, the people of Philly thought, well, Foles did it. Now's McCown's time to do it.
That was the expectation. I mean, it was unfair because there's a difference in level of ability between the two and age.
So we get to the play because we're talking about who filled in. Wentz goes out because of the hit by Jadeveon Clowney. We didn't see it at the time until the networks caught it and started running the replay. Nick and I kicked it around a little bit before the show. Was it a dirty play? Was it an illegal hit? Do you have a problem with it?
To me, I didn't think it was dirty, but to hear, and Nick kind of convinced me that maybe it was a little bit more, but when I saw it, I thought, it didn't seem egregious or too dirty to me. But then when you start talking about he tripped and he was okay, I could maybe see where you would think that, but no, my opinion at first glance, it didn't seem dirty.
Nick,
it was hard for me to say either way. I think Joel, you brought up a really good point about judging a replay in real time as opposed to in slow motion. And in real time, Barry, I actually thought it didn't really look that dirty. But when I saw the slow motion replay, God, it makes it look like Jadeveon Clowney clearly knew that his teammate already had the quarterback tackle by tripping Carson Wentz, grabbing his leg with his hand, and he still made the decision to use his helmet and land on Carson Wentz with his helmet, and that's why it looked dirty to me.
But that's the biggest play to me, and the referees are trained to look for this. If you lead with the crown of your helmet on any hit, whether it's a quarterback or otherwise, because the NFL was quick to say he didn't give himself up, he didn't slide, he was going head first. But when you lead with the crown of your helmet to make a tackle, no matter where it occurs and on who it occurs, it's a penalty. So regardless of whether there should have been even more than that, was it a dirty play? That's, again, up for interpretation. But in terms of was it illegal, leading with the crown of your helmet to hit somebody by NFL rules is illegal.
Yep. Should have been called.
So obviously it changed the course of the game. And now we got the Seahawks in Green Bay and Minnesota in San Francisco.
Better team won, though.
I agree.
I mean, the better team won. I don't even know if Carson Wentz, with the lack of weapons that he would have had, would have been able to beat that Seahawks defense.
I was actually told by an Eagles fan that the hit didn't look that bad. I'm like, bro, he got hit in the back of the head by Jadeveon Clowney's big-ass head, and then his face landed on the ground.
Yes.
It looked bad. That hurts.
That's the biggest thing, too. It's not just the one hit. It's the fact that after he took that hit, he made contact with the ground at a high rate of speed and impact. And you could see when you go, once the network was keyed in on it and they started to run back how he was on the sidelines, you could see that he was closing one eye and he was basically saying he had difficulty seeing. And then he and McCown were looking at an iPad and he looked at McCown and goes, almost basically said, I can't see out of this eye. And McCown kind of looked at him and thought, let's go. We got to concentrate on this play. Didn't really take it seriously at the time. The next thing you know, he's in the game.
Yeah.
And Wentz is walking to the locker room. And you look at it and go, you just never know, man. When you're hitting the dome like that, it could have a lot of different reactions. And one of them is it could mess with your sight. And if you're a quarterback, obviously it's huge.
You're sensitive to light. You're sensitive to hearing. You're sensitive to a lot of things when you're concussed. And that's why I knew when it took him forever to report the fact that he was officially out, I knew he wasn't coming back in. I don't know what the holdup was. Perhaps the Eagles were trying to justify to the NFL that they can get Carson Wentz back in the game. I don't know what the situation was. I don't know. But all I know is,
stranger things have happened. The only thing I would say to that, Nick, is I thought, well, they'll let him sit the rest of the first half.
Okay.
And then
see if he can weather it out, maybe.
He regroups in the locker room, and maybe the concussion doctor says, now that he's had a time to kind of settle down, he got his sight back. Then they make a different call and he comes out for the second half. When he didn't come out for the second half, I was like, oh man, they're really
done. Yeah. He's done. Yeah.
So my question to you guys, we've covered all the games, we saw all the games. Do we have the best eight teams left? Is there anybody that didn't make it that should have made it that's one of the best eight teams?
Saints.
Yeah.
I still say, you know, everybody's entitled to a bad day. It just happened to happen for them at a time when it was the most important game of the year. But just based on record and talent. Saints
over the Vikings.
Saints would be the one team, but not to say that over the Vikings, because the Vikings full of talent too, and they earned the win. But I think overall, based on record, based on hype, based on predictions, the one team that people would throw into that mix that's not going to be there is the Saints.
Okay, so Saints in the NFC probably should have made it.
Mm-hmm.
Did we get the best four teams in the AFC?
Based on I never was sold on New England all year as being dominant, and I think their true colors showed at their Tennessee, if you would just say, well, New England had a bad game. Tennessee has shown this because of what they had to do at the end of the regular season just to get in.
Yeah.
I think we did. I think in the AFC we're good.
I feel like Buffalo was probably a better team than Tennessee, if I'm being honest.
Better than Tennessee or better than Texans?
Better than Tennessee.
Okay.
Tennessee is very one-dimensional. If you can figure out if they play a team that can stop the run. What?
But Josh Allen can't pass, Barry, except for he throws an occasional long ball.
He's a better
runner than a passer.
I mean, I just feel like, I don't know.
That's your opinion.
Yeah, but it's you know, you're talking about the fourth of the four teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see making the case for Buffalo over Tennessee being in there. But yeah, I think Chiefs, Texans, and the Ravens were the top three teams. And the Patriots, they just didn't play anybody. That was the problem. When you look at their schedule, it was so easy. They played in that division with the Jets and the Dolphins. And
when they did play the Ravens, you saw their
true
colors.
They were exposed. And they hung in a lot. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like they probably were one of the best four teams, but not by the end of the season, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Up until the last couple of games, but you got smoked by the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
You and knew that there were problems with the
just
Patriots.
Under category of this never happens and never should.
Right.
Bad Dolphins team going into Foxborough, last game of the season you when it means some something issues. And you lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's red flag central right there.
But, hey.
What do you got, Nick? Any?
I mean, I actually was going to go with New England only because I didn't think of it. Like when he very clearly did say top eight teams, but for whatever reason, I was thinking, well, should the Texans should have been the better team or the Buffalo Bills? You know, I didn't even consider the Bills being a better team than Tennessee. I actually would agree with you, but I did like New England. I thought, yeah, when they lost to Miami, that was a big red flag, but we've seen them time and time again. I think New England, I think Buffalo, I think Saints. I think those are the three teams that you can make an argument that they probably should have.
Especially New England because of their defense. I mean, yeah. They were a plus 195, and a lot of that had to do with that defense.
A lot of the year, that defense got them through so many wins. But
And I just feel Tennessee is too, Derrick Henry dominant, as they should in some cases, because sometimes they can't find, they can't produce offense any other way.
Right.
But just like we point out all the shortcomings, right? Like the offense had holes. They didn't have any go-to guys other than Edelman, and they didn't have a tight end. Or the defense, they found holes. There was enough savvy coaching that looked at it and said, okay, we can run. But Belichick has to take some of the blame too. Because the one thing Belichick does in the playoffs is he takes the thing you do absolutely the best and takes it away from you and makes you beat them with everything else. And he didn't take Derrick Henry away. And he couldn't. So he has to shoulder some of the blame as well. It just was a down year for a Patriots team. But guaranteed that outside of Boston, there is no one with any love lost unless you're a transplant.
Hell no.
Everybody was giddy that they lost.
Of course.
Six titles later, take it for a change.
Did you see everybody saying how great it would be if Tom Brady's last pass was a pick six?
To his former teammate.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. You've won way
Brady's
too much.
Brady's not, but we are.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
And I'd Big be great haters. If he went and tried to quarterback the Chargers next year.
You would?
Yeah, because I'd love to see if he had anything left in the tank, and if it really was Brady or the system.
I just don't think that's happening. I mean, you keep saying it, and when you do this, eventually it happens. You're always right. The more he harps on it, it's like he puts it out in the universe, and they're like, fine, we'll just let Joel be right again. So watch, Brady will be a Charger. I just don't see it happening, but.
And you're the creepy after effect of that is? Do you know where Philip Rivers is said to be going now?
New England?
No, the Colts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not sold on Brissett. If Phil has anything left, and you give him T.Y. and all the receivers and that offensive line.
Yeah. Super Bowl, baby.
I don't know about that, but
by the way,
worse.
It looks like it's official. Somebody announced Mike Nolan will be the D.C. for the Cowboys.
Wow.
Quick move
for Mike
Making
McCarthy.
Moves quick.
Putting together his football team. It's going to be a good football team. I feel like I'm the Zeke. It's going to be a football team.
The only one of the three of us that didn't watch the Golden Globes, and I feel like I made a mistake.
Oh, yes, you did.
Huge mistake. Yep. The opening, I loved Ricky Gervais's opening monologue. A lot of my comedian friends didn't like it. I loved it. We got to discuss that.
We will discuss it next as we open up the third hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. 60 minutes on the clock when we return. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.